We've got a couple of inductions in here. The first one is, we'll turn to page 2, which is the Dave Ellman induction. The Dave Ellman induction is one of my personal favorite hypnotic inductions. Dave Ellman used to only do hypnosis with medical doctors and dentists. So he would travel around, he'd only teach dentists and medical doctors, and he specialized in pain control. I think pain control is one of the hottest niche markets out there for hypnosis, or for these technologies that we deal with. I think that because people will do anything to get out of pain, and these techniques are extremely effective in dealing with pain. Extremely effective. I used to travel around the country doing pain control demos. You've seen my pain control demos, haven't you? Knock your socks off, take the pain from 100 on a throbbing scale down to 0, just like that. And it works, I mean, it works like magic virtually every time. Yeah. So I think pain control, and Ellman was a magician of pain control. Ellman discovered some things about hypnosis very interesting. See, Erickson said, my best patient became my best patient after 300 repeated inductions. Which meant that, and that would make sense because all trance is about learning how to go into a trance. All trance is about learning how to go into a trance. Didn't mean they didn't produce results the first time, they did. But the more times they did it, the better the client became at accessing the trance state as well as responding to suggestion. So Ellman picked up on that and he said, if all trance is about learning how to go into a trance and if a client gets better at trance every time they go into it, what would happen if, he was kind of a quantum thinker, he said, what would happen if I induced trance within a client several times within the same session? Like I put them in a trance and then brought them out and put them in and brought them out. And what he found was that the client could reach the same depth of trance after coming in and out of trance in a single session, maybe 3 or 4 times, as somebody could after 3 or 4 sessions drawn out over a period of time. And that's the basis of the Dave Ellman inductions. Now, what I'd like you to take a look at is, let's turn to page 10 for a moment before we fully examine the Dave Ellman induction. Page 10. Because Ellman had, on page 10, Ellman had a certain pre-talk that he would walk through with people prior to actually doing his hypnosis. And the pre-talk is a very important part of the client's hypnosis experience, it says here. Many clients have fears or misconceptions about what hypnosis is, etc. This is an excellent opportunity to educate the client about what to expect in hypnosis, establish rapport, and dispel old myths about hypnosis. The pre-talk allows you to build trust with the client, assure them that they're in control at all times, and that they're responsible for following instructions and going into a trance. So just like we say in the rest of NLP, the client's the one that's responsible for going into a trance. Also, they're in control the entire time. This isn't about controlling people's minds. We can't control people's minds. They can control their mind. We can teach them to control their own mind. I look at hypnosis as being the ultimate state of self-control. Because when you can control your focus to the point where you can increase your money, increase your better your relationships, increase your finances, you know what I'm trying to say? Increase your relationships. Yeah, hey, discover the magic of hypnosis. Increase your relationships. Yeah. there's people that do that, by the way. Yeah, that for me is the ultimate state of self-control. You know, what was interesting was Bandler and Grinder. When Bandler first devised NLP and he started throwing all the various patterns that became NLP together, they weren't allowed to practice hypnosis, and hypnosis had a lot of social stigma. Yet he found that hypnosis was one of the forms of therapy that was really producing the best results out there. So he said, we actually codified and named NLP and made it a science because we discovered that we couldn't practice hypnosis in some states. So there, NLP, to a large extent, was like a conscious mind form of hypnosis. It was a study of how, to a large extent, not all of it. I mean, some of it came from Virginia Satir and so on and so forth. The Satir categories, those parts came from other forms of therapy. But a lot of the stuff that Bandler integrated into NLP, he looked at what's going on inside hypnosis and how do you break that down and teach it to somebody in a conscious way. In fact, Bandler set out to discover how many of the deep trance phenomena he could produce in a client without a formal trance induction. Interestingly enough, he found that by working with the conscious mind and the unconscious mind, he could actually produce all of the deep trance phenomena without a formal trance induction. So it's not necessary to do a trance induction to tap into those resources, I guess, is the point. And when you do a submodality shift, you're just shifting the internal representations, which is another thing that we do with hypnosis. So there's less social stigma about it. You can do it in a corporate environment. It doesn't have the, you know, and it's it bypasses NLP, like hypnosis, bypasses conscious resistance, but NLP paces and leads the conscious part. So it works with it rather than going by it. Yeah. Here's Ellman's criteria for going into hypnosis or going into trance. It says the subject must consent or agree to be hypnotized. 2, there must be good communication between the hypnotherapist and the client. 3, the client needs to feel safe and secure, free from any fears about what's going to take place during hypnosis. I think that's the most important part. I never had that. I never really had that issue to deal with. So I always kind of played it 150%, went down and just enjoyed it, you know. And then I went home and did it with myself a lot. And what I found was that I was able to heal some things in my own life that would devastate other people. That, like, problems that you hear about, and I'm not going to mention here because some of them are personal problems and stuff, but stuff that would devastate other people, I healed and got rid of. So it was like, cool. 4, the client must trust, and I think it was just my willingness to play with the process and play it 100% when I was going into it. 4, the client must trust the hypnotherapist and his or her intentions. I think that's important. Script for the pre-talk introduction. So if you're going to do a pre-talk, here's how Ellman might have done it. We learned a way that Erickson would have done it. Ellman would do it a little bit differently. Ellman would say, clench fist, relax fist. He would say, did you know that if you really wanted to, you could clench your fist so tightly and so powerfully that you couldn't possibly make it any tighter and more powerful? Is that true? Good. So if you really wanted to, you knew how, you could relax the fist and hand to the point where it was so relaxed, unless you removed that relaxation, the fist and hand would be so relaxed that it wouldn't work. This is true also, isn't it? So here's what I want you to do. Everybody try this. Everybody take your fist and squeeze it very tight, as tight as you possibly can. Tighter and tighter, tighter and tighter, as tight as you possibly can. Tighter and tighter, tighter and tighter. Good. So you can squeeze it as tight as, you can squeeze it pretty darn tight, right? Now if you really wanted to, you could release it and relax it just as much as you are squeezing it tight. So go ahead now and just drop it down and just relax the hand like a wet rag doll. Yeah. Now, for some people, that's useful to do, tensing, relaxing, in order to get the feeling, the opposite of the relaxation. It's useful for them to tense first. So Ellman would always describe that to the client that way. Then he'd tell the client that the eyes are the easiest relax. So it is possible to relax the body like a rag doll. Now, the eyelids are the easiest group of muscles to relax. Now, you know that's true, don't you? Have you ever had a long, hard day, and as the day grew tired later, your eyes just wanted so badly to close and just relax? Okay, so the eyes are just, they're such an easy muscle to relax. He just explained to them a little bit about that. And then 3, he would say, now watch my eyes. I'm going to close them and relax them so deeply and completely that they couldn't possibly open. Now, if I decide to take that relaxation away, I could open them instantly. But if I hold on to that relaxation, my eyes will be so relaxed that they wouldn't work no matter how hard I tried to open them. I mean, how could they if you were really holding on to the relaxation? Yeah. So now I'm going to try to open them. And he goes like this. He would go like this in teaching the client. He'd go, oops, I opened them. I was supposed to test them and make sure they didn't work. So now I'll hold on to the relaxation and make sure that they don't work. And he'd go like this. Good. In fact, if I'm really holding on to the relaxation, try that. If you close your eyes and you're really holding on to the relaxation, you probably won't even get much movement of the eyebrows. How could you if you were holding on to the relaxation, right? So Ellman would go through this process of teaching the client how to do eye catalepsy. And this was his whole pre-talk. This is how he would describe the process that they were about to go into. Yeah? So, but I mean, really, everybody try that for a moment. Everybody close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just relax them. Relax the muscles around your eyes until they're so relaxed that you couldn't open them. I mean, really relax them. And then holding on to that relaxation, test them and make sure you can't open them. So go ahead and try and find you can't. And if you really hold on to the relaxation, you probably won't even move them much at all, even though you're trying. Because how could you? And once you've tested it and tried it, go ahead and open them. It's impossible to open them if you're holding on to the relaxation, right? Because they're closed.